Last year I turned 51 years old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seen his seed begging for bread. So I'm trying to tell you tonight, just a little bit, that God can do anything. I said God can do anything. He's a way maker when there seemeth like no way. He'll open a door when the man shuts it on. Tell a little bit, Dawson. Come on. Yeah.
Living water,
Holy Ghost. gulch river.
A living water.
I got a river.
A living water.
Holy gulch river.
A living water.
I got a river.
A living water.
Holy gulch river.
A living water.
When I broke through, when I broke loose, when I broke out, when I broke free. Come on, you should have been there when I prayed through. I wish you could have seen when I prayed through. I wish you could have seen when my God stepped down to the reservation table at hell and said, take my boy's name off the roll because he ain't coming. You should have been there when I prayed through. The devil said, no, he's mine. He owes a debt. And God said, check the record again, baby, because the debt's been paid. You should have been there when I prayed through. The church was on fire. Holy Ghost fire. Apostolic fire. Tongue talking fire. Soul cleansing fire. Chain breaking fire. The church was on fire. Demon running fire. And the Holy Ghost too. Book of Acts, Holy Ghost. One God, Holy Ghost. Upper room, Holy Ghost. Oh, not something that came 200 years after, but Holy Ghost that fell when they were gathered together in an upper room, in one mind, in one accord, and suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled James and John, it filled Peter, it filled Mother Mary, every single one of them. That's the Holy Ghost that fell on me. Holy Ghost fire. You should have been there when I prayed through.
Tell it.
From the top of my head to the sole of my feet. But then it went on ahead. Then it got way down deep inside my soul. I can feel the Spirit. I can feel the Spirit moving all over me.
Jeremiah said it's like fire. He said it's like fire. Shut up in my bubble. I said it's like fire. Shut up in my bubble.
You should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire in the Holy Ghost. Top of my head, top of my feet, felt the Spirit moving all over me.
Holy Ghost River.
A living water.
I got a river.
somebody high five and tell them you should have been there when I prayed through. Oh, go ahead. If you love him, shout about it a little bit. If you love him, just give him a little bit of praise. Find yourself a dancing partner and give God some glory. Let's give him a hand, praise of worship, and bless his name. We're glad to have the Deckards in the house tonight and their tribe. All of our visitors in the house, we're so glad you're here. When you come, make yourself at home. We're just glad they let us in. Praise God. Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse 14, continuing our way across the Gospels, beginning with the book of Matthew. What a presence of God in this house tonight. Praise God. We're giving God praise for filling Brother Michael with the Holy Ghost this morning. Hallelujah. Just like they got it in the Bible, they didn't shake a preacher's hand, they didn't sign a card, they didn't offer a confession of faith. You see, when you read the apostolic narrative of the Word of God, you don't find any of that. What you find is people getting the Holy Ghost. And every time they do, they talk in tongues. And that business of Holy Ghost without talking in tongues didn't start until the Roman Catholic Church some 300 years later, perpetuated then by the Protestants 1,500 years later. And I didn't come tonight to offend you. I just want you to know you need to check the Word of God, and you need to check your history, and you need to find out who's picking your pocket, because everybody in the Bible that got the Holy Ghost was a tongue talker. And you say, well, not everybody has the gift of tongues. That's right. Well, you're saying that everybody gets the Holy Ghost talks in tongues. That's right. Well, how can you say that if not everybody has the gift of tongues? Well, read the first book to the Corinthian church, chapter 14, and you'll find where Paul lays out all kind of rules and stipulates what speaking in tongues, as in the gift of tongues, is all about. You'll find out when a man speaks in an unknown tongue, no man understands him. But in the book of Acts, you'll find out that the whole street understood. You'll find Paul saying, let it be by two or three, and that by course, and not without an interpreter. But in the book of Acts, there's never an interpretation. They all talk in tongues at the same time. And it's always more than two or three. God's not the author of confusion. Listen to me tonight. When you get the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues. That's not the gift of tongues. That is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, they got the Holy Ghost, they talked in tongues. Acts 10, they got the Holy Ghost, they talked in tongues. Acts 19, they got the Holy Ghost. And they talked in tongues. All right, well, let's return to Matthew 17. Well, we're glad for Brother Michael anyway. Bible studies. Matthew 17 and verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him unto thy disciples. They could not cure him. This is after chapter 10, where he sent them out to heal, to preach, and to pray miracles. And we don't have a narrative of what happened in chapter 10, but there is an understanding there that he sent them out and that they did those things. But we don't get any record of it. But here there's a special case, a hard case. And verse 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Unbelief is the antithesis of faith. It is why Israel died in the wilderness with a fiery cloud above them every day and every night, with bread on the deck every day, water from the rock. They died in unbelief after having seen the Red Sea split and all of Pharaoh's host drowned in the sea. They died in unbelief because miracles don't create faith. Signs don't create faith. The word of God creates faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and that by the word of God. And these signs shall follow them that believe. The signs follow the faith. Well, praise God. He said, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence into yonder place. It shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind, whether he's talking about that devil or that unbelief, he said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. He said, you got to work on this. You're not going to just casually bop up to some things and have power and authority. The power and authority is invested in the church. And if you're a covenant person, it is in you. But the shield of flesh is a shield of unbelief. And the natural mind is a spokesperson for unbelief. And this kind cometh not out but by taking that flesh and that will in hand and working at the business of dominion in the kingdom of God. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, O God, and we give you all the praise and thanks, and we bless your name. We're thankful tonight for your word, for the power of it, the privilege of it, the promise of it, O God. We're thankful tonight for your word. Praise God. Through this study of Matthew, we have dealt with a theological concept that writers call the already but not yet. They're dealing with the kingdom of God. And it is now. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. It is now, but the fulfillment of it is not yet. And they produce this as a counterpoint to the apocalyptic theology and thought of the day of Jesus Christ, when they thought Messiah would come and that he would destroy the oppressors, the Gentiles, and he would set up the throne of David, and Israel would be vaunted back into their place of rightful rule, and it would all take place in a very rapid fashion once Messiah came. But when Jesus came, he began to teach something different. He said the wheat and the tares, they're going to grow up together. He said the kingdom of God is with you now. But he began to teach them that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world were going to coexist for a period of time until he came in full glory in his kingdom. He's teaching them something that they are not comfortable with. And that is one of the reasons that they crucified him, because he destroyed their theology before the people. And he had power and he had authority. They said in this passage, why could we not cast out the devil? He said, because of your unbelief. This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. But there is an inherent suggestion here. You can cast this kind out. but it only comes out by... He didn't tell them, but you can't do this. Only I can do this. He said, this kind cometh not out but by. And inherent in that is the fact that they could. This is a hard place. This is a challenging place. This is a place where they're going to have to get in there and exert their faith. But it can be done. Somebody say, it can be done. My God, this is not a day to settle down in a calm coexistence with the world. But we've been sent here to be light in dark places. Somebody's got to get out and walk in a dark place. We've been called to be salt to a world that needs God. Somebody's got to be brave enough to step out. Have enough courage to step out in that. Well, praise God. Give your neighbor a high five and say it can be done. Tell them all things are possible. I want somebody that's been down under a load this week to say all things are possible. I want somebody the devil's been lying to. I want you to say all things are possible. I want somebody that's been fighting for your life to bow up your head, lift up your voice, and say all things are possible with God. Do you believe that? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every knee bows. In Jesus' name. Every tongue confesses. In Jesus' name. But the disciples are walking in the already. The kingdom is there. But they're also walking in the not yet. They're still in this stuff. They're walking in miracles. Chapter 10, they were walking in miracles. But in this instance, it's a hard place. And they can't get it. They can't force it. Matthew chapter 17, we follow on beyond this. And verse 24 through 27 is the story of the tribute money. And this is another instance where he's teaching them, you're going to be here a while. Because when they asked, does your master not pay the tribute money? Jesus said, Jesus gives a lesson there about fathers and children and the liberty of the children of God. And that's not what we'll talk about tonight. But he sends Peter down to the water's edge to catch a fish. And he said, the first fish you catch, reach in his mouth. He's going to have a coin. We don't want to offend them. Pay the tax. And so he's teaching them, we're not going to overthrow their governmental systems. We're going to live within their governmental systems. And we're going to pay their stinking taxes. But we want them to know, and we know, we're free. We're not bound. I've got a citizenship. Yes, I do. But it's on a higher level than the United States of America. I love America. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I wasn't born in Haiti. If you got half a brain, you were glad. You're glad you weren't born in Haiti. And if you were born in Haiti, you're glad you're here. But I've got a higher allegiance. I've got a higher citizenship. Well, praise God. Cross is my statue of liberty. Well, praise God. He teaches them we're going to pay the tribute. This is in direct opposition to the theology of the day, the apocalyptic thought of the day. This is contrary to that, and we see the miraculous and the natural blending together. We're going to have a miracle to pay a natural levy of tax. So the disciples are walking in the natural and they're handling miracles at the same time. And this is important because we're in the same dispensation as the apostles. And we're walking in the already, but the not yet. Somebody say the already, but the not yet. We're walking in miracles, but we're walking in the natural. Anybody here had a miracle? Has God done a miracle in your life? Have you had things happen, rain down on you from above? Has God touched your life, healed your body, provided for you, raised you up? Has God made a way where there was no way? Has God shut the mouth of your enemy, put you in a place you weren't qualified to be? Has God worked a miracle in your life? And yet we're walking in the natural. And we deal with it both. And we're in the tensions of the categories. We're in the realities of the natural, but we're in the reality, a higher reality of the supernatural. And sometimes you can settle in too close to the natural and run against those natural barriers so often that some folks just give up and they keep their little light in their house and they keep their salt in their shaker. And they've prayed for enough people when it didn't happen that they're afraid to pray for somebody now. One of the most important lessons I ever learned about living for God, I was brand new and I was full of zeal and I was praying for dying people. And when they died, it just knocked me flat on my back. Because I had told them, God's going to raise you up. And I believed it. And you never saw a more stunned person in your life than when I walked in the room and the person was gone and they were dead. And so I'm in a roiling confusion about that. Because I lump it all together. Every promise of God and the cleansing of sin and the healing and all of those things. And for somebody that's new, that's a dangerous place to walk. And I went to a council of missionaries or a missionary meeting with Dawson's dad, mom. And I sat and listened, and I was really, really young in God. But old brother Matt Carpenter, a veteran missionary from South Africa, was there. And he told about all the miracles he had seen. And it was so wonderful, and I was jazzed, and it was exciting, and it was wonderful. But he peeled right off of that, and he began to tell about all the times when the miracles didn't happen. When he prayed just like he prayed before, but it didn't happen. When he called out, when he was walking, when he didn't have sin that he knew of in his life and prayed, but it didn't happen. And he said, I came to this marvelous revelation that it's my job to pray, but I'm not the healer. It's my job to believe, but I'm not the miracle worker. Because if you are the one who does the deed, you are the one who gets the glory. Never mistake it. If it happens, it's God. If it doesn't happen, it's God. He's going to get glory either. Come on, you've got to get over on the winning side of this idea. It's always God, and God always gets glory, and God is always right, and God never makes mistakes. If I live, God's right. If I die, God's right. If I'm healthy, God's right. If I'm sick, God's right. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job crossed over away from the natural. He said, I know I'm hung up in this natural world, and I serve a supernatural God, and there's a promise, but payday is coming later. Payday's not now. We're walking in it. We handle it. And James goes to jail. And Herod cuts his head off. And the church is praying. And then he arrests Peter. Locks him up in the same jail cell. And the church is praying, but not with quite as much faith. Because when Rhoda answers the door and Peter's standing there, she slams the door in his face, runs back to tell the apostles, and they interrupt their prayer to say, it can't be him, it must be his angel, and they go back to praying. What about it, James? What about James? God delivered Warren, but what about James? God sent an angel, broke Warren out of prison. But what about James? My God, who do you report God to? Can I report him to some governmental agency that makes sure that we all get equal treatment? He got a financial blessing, and I'm busted. Who do I call about God? God isn't fair. But God is wise, and God is omniscient. And God always knows what you need. And the race is not to the swift nor to the strong, but the race is to the one that endures to the end. I might have to climb over, but I'm coming on. I may have to dig my way through, but I'm coming on. I may have to fight all the devils in the city, and you may get a pass, but that's up to God, and God gets the glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody that's in trouble right now, give God praise. And somebody that hadn't had trouble in a long time, you give God praise. Somebody that's broke right now, you give God praise. And somebody that's got more than you could ever spend, you give God praise. I want somebody that's sick in your body to give God praise. And somebody that's healthy and strong to give God praise. This is the place of victory, because this is the place where the devil comes and says, where now is your God? And I've got to tell him, devil, I want to tell you, I may be broken in my body, but there ain't a thing wrong with God. And God's going to pick me up in that last day, and I'm going to have a brand new body. Oh, let's give him just a little bit of praise. My God, does anybody feel your strength coming to you in the house tonight? I'm ready. Is anybody ready to fight another round? Is anybody ready to run another race? Is anybody ready to take on another enemy? Is anybody ready to pray another prayer? Is anybody ready to reach into the fight again and win one more to the kingdom of God? I have buried more Bible study students than most people have taught Bible studies. Log trucks, blazing fuel trucks, dying in horrible, horrific ways, murder and mayhem. And I'm getting to thinking, God, this is not a good thing. I'm carrying this into people's homes and I'm wrecking people's lives. They seem to be doing better before I got there. But the Holy Ghost said, but God saw the intersection in the road where they would die. God saw the place on the map where the husband would snap and pull out the gun. God saw the place of need, and he sent the word to segue into their lives in a sweet space of time just to give them a little bit of hope. Well, praise God. All I can tell you, if I'm teaching you a Bible study right now, don't quit. It's the quitters that die. I've buried 11. And it's the quitters that die. Somebody just folded up their Bible study resignation letter and just put it right back in their pocket. They didn't die because they quit the Bible study. That was going to happen. They had a chance there to turn their life. Brother Jerry and I were talking about Jim Williams today. Got the Holy Ghost in that little white building down the street there. And within 2 weeks, they moved to Georgia. And he died on the side of an interstate of a massive heart attack, freshly filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. I get a Christmas card from his family every year. They're still over there living for God, product of a Bible study, still living for God. Could have been all snarled up and upset because Jim died, but they trusted God and they believed God and they know that God does all things well, and their praise is God saved him right before he went home. We see through a glass darkly, but then we're going to see face to face. We know in part and we prophesy in part. Everybody say, but then. But then, listen, we don't have it all right now, but we're going to have it. We prophesy in part, but then we're going to know even as we are known. We are like the Levites who carry the weight and the process of Israel's entrance into the presence of God on their shoulders, but they never get to see it. It's wrapped up and bundled up by the priests, and the Levites carry it over the hot desert sands. They handle miraculous things that they never get to see, and that's who we are tonight. We're handling things that we can't see. We're dealing with things that we don't have full knowledge of, and I don't know sometimes what we're doing, but I'm just going to open this valve, and I'm going to pull on this chain, and I'm going to open this door just to see what happens. In the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Peter walks on water a few chapters ago, and then he sinks. He's walking in the miraculous, but he's contending with the categories and with an unbelieving mind. And we do the same thing. We walk in holy places. We sit with him in heavenly places. We walk where angels walk. We this morning witnessed the outpouring of the kingdom of God and speaking in tongues and the water baptism and the cleansing of sins, the greatest miracle of this day. We saw that today. But some of you are struggling in your body and struggling in your life or struggling in your family. But that's where we're living. We're in the already. I already got it. But we're in the not yet. Well, the best is yet to come. This thing's going to wrap up, and then you will be all that God has called you to be, and then you will have every part of the blessing of God. But we're making our way. I'm not there yet, but I've got a made up mind, and I'm going to be there when the dust settles, and I'm going to embrace the full orbed promise of God. Ah, somebody give him praise. My God. I'm going to challenge your faith tonight. I want you to get up and shake the dust off and get ready for another round. I want you to get up and say, devil, you bloodied my nose, but I'm ready for you. I'm going to have my piece of this revival. You can't have my joy. You can't have my faith. You can't have my trust in God. You can't have my Holy Ghost. You can't have my worship. You can't have my prayer. Come on, somebody needs to draw a line in the sand tonight and say, my God has given me some promises, and there's some things in my life you can't have. Lives are changed, but people backslide. Now listen to me, I love you, but if you leave the truth of God, my joy is not leaving with you. My shout's not leaving. We're not going to have a month of, everybody leave. Nobody believes it anymore. The young people are wretched, wretched cases of, disobedience and insubordination and worldliness. Oh. We ain't doing that. We ain't doing that. God is on the throne. God is always right. God is always able. God has all the power. God's got it all in the palm of his hand. I may not see it right now, devil, but it's right here in the midst of the promise of God. I may not see it right now, but it's bubbling in me. God's kingdom is here already. Somebody give your neighbor a high five and tell him the kingdom of God is here. Promise is here. The healing is here. The miracle is here. It may not have happened last time, but it's going to happen tomorrow. It may not have happened last time. It may not have happened to you, but it's going to happen to somebody. Well, if we could all live right and believe God, and if everybody would just get on board, then we could have revival. You got cheese for brains. Because everybody's never going to be on board, and God is still God. If God can find one, God will pour out a blessing. And it's easy for people that don't live with you to stand in a pulpit and tell you God will do it every time. That's because they're going to pack their bags. They're not going to walk with you. Pastors have to think about tomorrow and a place where we can live with this marvelous faith. And next time somebody tells you it happens every time, don't let them catch another breath. Just say, come on, come on, come on. And well, where are we going? We're going to the hospital, man. And we're going to clean that place out. Then we're going to the next hospital. And we're going to clean that one out. Then we're going to... Faith preacher. What are you? I'm a faith preacher. Really? Well, I'm living in the already... But not yet. I know you love me. I'd never touch you, my extra large friend. This man could kill me with one hand. You only do that to friends who understand what you're doing. Church, it's time for the church to have an attitude. And the attitude is, I believe it every time. When I pray for you, I'm like, I'm not praying for you like, well, I don't know. Sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. Let's see. When I pray for you, I pray for you believing God. Believing God is able. When we come in this house, we expect people to get the Holy Ghost. When we wake up in the morning, we expect a miracle. We expect divine intervention. We expect angels to walk on every side. Come on, somebody say amen. Is that what you expect? Is that what you believe? Angels encamped around about me. Ah. So we see miracles and we believe miracles, but not everybody gets healed. We believe with all of our heart, but our natural mind is constantly questioning. We have, Brother Dan, we have eternal life. And I'll say that if either of us gets rolled down in a coffin. Jesus looked at dead people and said, they're asleep. And this morning we talked about Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus said, God is the God of the living and not the dead. Death can't kill you. You can kill your body, but can't kill the promise of God. And you're going to get your body back. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We are a shifting glimpse of the millennium. It's not always in clear focus. It's not always clearly there. It's some days you wake up and you feel like all of heaven is walking with you. Sometimes we come in this house and there's just a surge of authority in the Holy Ghost. And sometimes we're here and it's dry as shucks. And there's not a drop of feeling. But I am convinced that the anointing is there anyway. We walk by faith and not by, or yeah, we don't walk by these lying senses. We walk by the promise of the word of God. Jeremiah chapter 29, 4 through 7, God said to the people that soon would be exiles in captivity in Babylon. He said, listen, when you get there, build houses, plant gardens, and pray for the peace of that city. Because you're going to be there a while. And in the peace of that city is your peace. Praise God. So to the church I would say, build homes. Plant gardens. Build your life. Go to school. Achieve all that you can achieve. Build everything you can build. But understand, we're not home. And we're not staying here. But we're going to the other side. Somebody say praise the Lord. But we pray for the peace of this place. I don't know about you, but I want Birmingham to have a good economy. So what can we do about that? We pray. I pray, God, bless this city. When I pray for you, I pray, God, give them contracts, give them new customers, bless the companies they work for, or bless the companies that they own. Strengthen them in the work of their hands, give them new business, give them, I pray about all those secular things, because the Bible said, build houses, plant gardens. You're going to be there a while. We're locked in, walking in coexistence with this natural world. And the natural realities are something that we deal with all the time. Somebody say praise the Lord. You can't live in a Sunday night shout. And you can't shout away bad business practices. And you can't pray away bad financial practices. Oh, God bless me. God bless me. Really bless me. But you spend your money on junk. And you're late for work every day. And some days you don't show up for work. We're in the already, but not yet. Man, I believe God's coming. I'm going to drop out of school. I don't know how long the already is going to be. I don't know when the not yet's coming. You better get a marketable skill. Oh, now I've gone to pastoring and the revival air has run out of your boot heel. It's a whole lot easier to shout on Sunday night when you got the bills paid. And it's a whole lot easier to pay the bills when you plan your life effectively. Young lady, look at me. Don't even talk to him if he's not a hard worker and has a good rapport with men who work. If he's got his pants down and his drawers hanging out and he's slouching around and he's... Well, hello, sister. I want your phone number. The first thing you need to say is, do you have a job? I'm talking about real life. I just felt in the Holy Ghost, we were meant for one another. Do you work? Can you get to work on time? These are highly spiritual questions. It's hard for you to have revival when you can't keep your little life together. I've come to tell you how God's going to bless you. And they get to looking at you. And they see you can't keep your life together. And that really motivates them to follow you. Oh, I want to be just like you. You got bill collectors on your porch every day. You got, oh, but none of this matters. This world is not my home. Well, that's a great song, and it's true in a sense of we're going to heaven. But it is your home as long as we're here in the already, but not yet. Well, praise God. I've lost half of you now. See if I can find some more revival-oriented something here. Praise God. God, help the children. God, help the young people. Parents, train them up. Make citizens out of them. My God. Praise God. God had people in Babylon. He had angels and visions and jailbreaks and stopped the mouths of lions and didn't let the fire burn their bodies. They had a miraculous visitation, but they were nonetheless in captivity. They had all that in a natural situation. Well, praise God. They were still under the heel of Babylon until God said it's time to go home. Praise God.
I want to. I'm going to stop here just a minute, but I want to challenge you with something tonight. Chase, can you give me Joshua chapter 16 and verse 10? Joshua 16 and 10, and then we're going to move on through Joshua a little bit in Judges. And when you hear 10 or 20 people snoring, we'll probably know it's time to. Joshua 16 and 10, speaking of the conquest of Canaan. And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. You remember their mandate was to drive them all out. But some of these people lived in hard to reach places, and some of them were very fierce. And they got them a little place to live, but they didn't go out into the edges of the promise of God and lay claim to it, because it was just a little bit too hard and required a little bit too much energy. Chapter 17 and verse 12 and 13. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. But God's mandate was drive them out. Verse 13, yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. They became accustomed to living with things that God had told them to drive out. But in the world of the already, but not yet, they just got kind of distorted in their thinking, and they settled down into some areas and did not take care of business. It is this unfinished business that through the 400 years of the judges is going to cost them their victory, and generations are going to die on the wrong side of covenant with God because they embrace the gods of these people groups that they don't drive out. Well, praise God. Judges chapter 1 and beginning in verse 27. And it's a little bit more of the same, just kind of a compilation here. Judges chapter 1 and beginning in verse 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshan and her towns, nor Taanach or her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in the land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong, they put the Canaanites to tribute, but they did not drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites, neither did or the Canaanites in Gezer, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, verse 31. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Acor. Verse 32, but the Asherites dwell among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Verse 33, neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Bethna, but he dwelt among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and of Beth Anath became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down into the valley. They got into the place where they were accustomed to the things that God had told them to drive out, to those things that were hard. Some of these Philistines had chariots with wheels of iron. And it was really, really tough to get in there. And there were some of the descendants of Anak and some of those giants still left in Ashtoreth and some of those places like Gath. And it was tough going in and fighting giants, and tough going into places where they had chariots of iron. And it just was easier just to settle down and just to have good little every Sunday night church, a little shout here and there, somebody praying through here and there. But the promise of God was out there on the perimeter, and they wouldn't pursue it because they just kind of got into this lazy, distorted existence in the natural, and they lost sight of God's priorities in their lives. But church tonight, the Holy Ghost has a challenge in this house for us. The Holy Ghost is calling us to be something that there has never been in this city, to do something that has never been done in this city. God is calling us tonight.
to realize. And here's the thing about tensions. You're always swinging from one side to the other. And you never can stay quite on center. It's always like course correction, flying a plane or sailing a ship. The tidal currents and the wind is always moving. Something trying to move you off your course. And you always have to do course correction to stay on. I've got to have that prayer life. I've got to have my focus on the Word of God. I've got to have long talks with myself and keep myself on track. Else I'll come to a place where I settle down in the natural. But there's plenty of promise left out there. They said, why couldn't we cast this devil out? In chapter 10, we went all over the country casting out devils, praying for the sick, bringing peace to homes. We had revival, and I think they did. He said, why? He said, because of your stinking unbelief. He said, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. I like church-wide prayer meetings. And I like church-wide fasting. But we're not going to get where God wants us to go if you have to have a host of people standing with you to press into consecration. And it's easy to settle in to a place where, yeah, I tried fasting a long time ago. Or all your discussion about fasting is what we used to do. And prayer. Brother Justin, there's plenty of promise yet out around the perimeter of where we are. And I really don't see, I don't think we've begun to see what God really has for his people. And I don't mean to exaggerate this. I really do believe that everybody in this house can bring friends and loved ones and see them filled with the Holy Ghost. I really do believe that everybody in this house with the Holy Ghost has the power to utter a word of prophecy among your peers or in your family. I believe everybody here has the power to win somebody by an anointed witness and to be led of God. If we settle in to what we do in these walls, the devil's going to be a very happy camper. If we settle in to just what we do here. But my God, it irritates me that there's demonic spirits in this city with chariots of iron. I want to go and kick the wheels off those things. But I've run into a few of them and they kick back. But I want to say, if I prayed for you and it didn't happen just yet, just hold your pose, my friend. I'll be back. I'm coming back. I'm going to find myself a deeper place in the kingdom of God. I'm going to go. Me and you, we've gone a few rounds, and you've bloodied my nose, and you've pulped my lips, and you've knocked me on my fanny, and I am tired of it. I'm going to go to God's gym, and I'm going to bulk up. I'm going to blow up. And I'm going to come back and we're going to have the same conversation again with a different result. You believe that? You're a devil and that's your business. That's what you do. That's your calling. But I'm a child of God and I'll tell you this. There's more where this came from. You hold on. I'm going to get it. I may not have seen the miracle last time, but I'm going to see it. I may not have had the answer last time, but I'm going to have it. My God, is there anybody that wants to reach a little further? That wants to see a little more? I want somebody just lift up your voice right now and tell God just how you feel about it. Tell God how you're going to do this in the midst of the trouble. Tell God how you're going to do this in the midst of the pressure. Jimmy Green, if you're listening, we prayed for you 1,000 times. But get ready. We're going to pray for you 1,001. Sister Cynthia, We've been laying hands on you and praying for you. And thus far, you're not up running around the church. But we're going to pray for you again. Somebody's going to push away from the table and say, this is for Sister Cynthia. Somebody's going to push away the plate and say, this is for Brother Jimmy. Somebody's going to find another place of prayer, a deeper consecration. All right? Anybody believe God has a miracle for this city? Anybody believe God has a miracle for this church? Anybody believe God's got a revival for this city? My God, I believe it. I believe it. I don't care what hasn't happened. I'm telling you what can be. All things are possible. Praise God. If you just have it down in your heart and you're tired of not seeing that miracle you've been pursuing, but you are in no way discouraged, I want you to come to this altar and tell God, I prayed for it 1,000 times, but God, here I am again. And God, you're going to have to listen to me until you sound that trumpet. I'm going to be here until I don't have another breath in my body. I'm going to be here until I don't have any strength to crawl into this place of prayer again. Here I am again, God. Lift it up before it. I want somebody to tell God exactly what you want. I want you to lift up your voice right now and tell God what you'd like to see. And if some part of you begins to say how it can't be so, I want you to say, oh yeah, there's plenty of promise. I'm living in the already and the not yet. Somebody to make a consecration in prayer. I need somebody to make some consecration for fasting. Come on. Altar church, see if there's anybody here that needs the Holy Ghost. They can get it right now. They can get it right now. You don't know till you ask. Come on, find out if everybody has the Holy Ghost. Nobody needs to leave tonight without the Holy Ghost.
Right now.
That's right, that's right. I need some worshipers in the house. Come on, God's about to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. Hey, hey.
I read. on your feet.